Please remain standing. I would like to invite you to take your Bibles together with me. You can use the church Bibles with you. And first I will take you to our Old Testament reading from the book of Job. The book of Job, chapter 19, verse 25 and 26. Where Job, by faith, speaks about the hope of resurrection, the hope of the resurrection of believers from the dead. Because of Christ's resurrection, of course. Here to Job. For I know my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, this is the corruption of our body, the decay. He's talking about the decay of our bodies following death. Yet Job said, in my flesh, bodily, physically, yet in my flesh, I shall see God. Amen. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12 to 20, where the Apostle Paul, like Job, speaks to us about Christ's resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, 12 to 10. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise it, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who also have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, your word is true. And now we ask you to purify us, sanctify us by the truth of your word. Speak to each and every one of us this morning through the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of your Son Jesus Christ's resurrection. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. My friends, all the hymns that we have been singing together so far speaks of Christ's resurrection. We together have been singing about his resurrection. They remind us that when we gather for worship in God's house, like what we are doing now, we worship the risen Lord. We don't come to church to worship a dead Savior who is still in the grave, but we worship Christ who is risen from the dead. And now, after singing hymns of resurrection, we will hear a message on resurrection. We will interrupt our morning Gospel of John sermon series and focus on that great historical event of Christ's resurrection and what his resurrection offers to us as believers. The question this morning is, what do we benefit from Christ's resurrection? What do we get from Christ's resurrection? I hope you all agree with me that the resurrection of Christ for us believers is not a once a year discussion. It is a constant reality. We live every day of our lives in light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Every year when we get to this point, the television is filled with documentaries, not to celebrate and honor the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but actually to prove Christ's bodily resurrection as false, as something that never happened. In the television and, you know, all kinds of interviews that you hear most of the time during Easter, people ask, did it really happen? Is it really scientific? Is it based on the principles of science, people ask? A person who claims to be the Son of God dies, and then after 3 days, he comes back to life. He breaks the well-sealed and secured grave and go free, just like that. And they say, that's not scientific. They say science would disapprove such kind of resurrection. But what many don't understand, and they don't want to believe and accept, is this: the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ was a supernatural and historical event. Science deals with, though amazing, inventions and discoveries, but ordinary happenings. Science cannot disprove the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ because it was supernatural. It was a time and a day where Jesus, the Son of God, manifested his authority and his power over death, sin, and hell, including science. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is over science. It rules over everything, including science. It is like the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, a virgin conceiving a baby in her womb by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's supernatural. Jesus walking on the water. That's supernatural. Jesus feeding 20,000 people with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, that's supernatural, brothers and sisters in Christ. That's over science. Jesus in John 10, 18 said this. Listen to your Savior himself. I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. Do you think science can stop Jesus from doing that? He's the Lord of lords. He's the Lord of life. You see, it is a great historical event on which our Lord Jesus Christ manifested his supernatural power over death, sin, and the devil. So this morning, we're going to leave the argument that says the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ was not a scientific proven. We're going to leave that behind. It doesn't work. But we'll focus on what it means for us as believers. We'll focus on what offers, what Christ's resurrection offers to you all as God's children, as believers. What does that historical and supernatural act offers to us? And I want to point all of you to three wonderful gifts of resurrection this morning. And I'm going to give you only three. Not because the blessings of resurrection are only three in number. There are many. If I stand in the pulpit today and start telling you about the blessings of resurrection, I'm sure I will keep you here the whole day. Even one day would not be enough for me. But you know, I'm limited with time in the pulpit. So I'm going to stick with only three. And then the second reason is I have to have 3 points because I'm a Presbyterian preacher. So three special gifts of resurrection. First, a foundation that cannot be shaken. That's the gift of resurrection. Secondly, a preaching that can be trusted. That can be trusted fully. And then thirdly, a life beyond the grave. So you have these three amazing and wonderful gifts that Christ's bodily resurrection offers to you as a believer. Foundation that cannot be shaken, preaching that can be trusted, life beyond the grave. So we'll start with the foundation that cannot be shaken. Listen to Paul in verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 15. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. We'll come back to that. But your faith is in vain. So in Paul's time, there were people in the church and outside of the church who were arguing, no, bodily resurrection of Christ didn't happen. It's impossible. It is not true. Now Paul is making an argument. And he's saying, well, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, so our faith, our religion is not true. Our faith is false. And it would be in vain. It would be unable to produce any result. In other words, Paul is saying, if Christ has not been raised, our faith is without foundation. So when storm comes, when doubt and fear assails into the Christian life, then our faith, our Christian life, will be collapsed just like that. But God is wise. God is loving. God is powerful. Through the resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ, He laid a foundation for our faith. And the foundation for our faith is this historical fact of Christ's resurrection. Imagine you constructing a house. You hire a company, construction company, and you go to the site every day and you see the house that you are building making progress and it is done. So you stand before this magnificent new house that you built. And then you start admiring it. You start, you know, becoming excited about this new building, new house that you just built. And then it dawns on you that it doesn't have foundation. Think about how you would feel. The moment you realize my house doesn't have foundation, then you will picture your house at some point being collapsed. Because it doesn't have foundation. Our faith is like that. If God would leave us, you know, if God would leave us to ourselves to stand strong and firm worship Him and follow His Son Jesus Christ with no foundation, then we can be destroyed very easily. Our Christian life without Christ's resurrection is exactly like that building. Listen to Peter in 1 Peter 3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we need to bless God? Why do we need to speak well of our God? That's what it means to bless God, to speak well of Him, to thank Him. Why? According to His great mercy, not according to anything that we have done. We're rebellious sinners. But according to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again. To what end? To what purpose? To a living hope. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Where and how do you get a living hope in the Christian life? A living hope that will never die. A living hope that will never perish and be destroyed. How do you get such a living hope? Through the power of Christ's resurrection. In fact, Peter said, because we have that hope, living hope, through the power of Christ's resurrection, our faith, our life is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. It will not get corrupted. It will not be destroyed. It will not perish. Because the foundation is Christ's resurrection. And it will not be shaken. Romans 4:25. Who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Young children, what does justification mean? What does to be justified mean? To be justified means to be declared righteous before God. God declares you as a righteous person, not guilt anymore. And how does God do that? Through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. 1 John 2:2, He is the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation means one who removes the wrath of God from us. When Jesus died on the cross, He removed that wrath of His Father upon us, upon sinners. So John said, He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jews and Gentiles rely on the death of Jesus Christ on the cross for the forgiveness of their sins. Now, does this work of Christ on the cross contains only the work of atonement that Jesus fulfilled on the cross, or it also includes Christ's resurrection? Think about that. And I ask this question because I sometimes hear people say, wouldn't Christ's work on the cross, Him bearing the curse of the Father upon Himself and going to the cross, would not that death on the cross be enough? Even without Him being raised from the dead? Wasn't the cross enough? Why do we even worry about His resurrection? Whether it happened or not, whether it is a historical fact or not, He died on the cross. Wouldn't that be enough, people say? Or put it in another way, do we need resurrection? Would his death on the cross does not solve our sin and death problem? Why do we need resurrection? Well, what does the Apostle Paul tells us? Tell us in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 4. Now, Paul said, I remind you, brothers, of the gospel. What is the gospel? I preach it to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preach it to you, the preaching of the gospel. But what is the gospel? Unless you believe in vain. Now he's going to tell you what the gospel is, what the good news is. I deliver to you as of first importance. Listen to this carefully. Paul is telling you the gospel is the most important thing in life. The gospel is the chief of all things. Why? For I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scripture. So what is the gospel? The gospel, brothers and sisters in Christ, is the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The good news about the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. That's the complete package of the gospel. The good news of salvation. So when people ask, wouldn't the cross, only the cross, be enough? No, Paul is saying, no, what is enough for you is his death, his burial, and his resurrection. You can't separate his death from his resurrection, because it was through his resurrection that he conquered death and hell and the devil. For your salvation to be completed, for your salvation to be victorious, he had to raise up from the dead, conquering the power of death and hell and the devil. That's why Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 say death is swallowed up in victory. Oh death, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only our Savior, but our Lord. Lord over death and sin and hell. You see, that's why we need his death, his burial, and his resurrection. You see, his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, they depend on one another and they complement one another in the Christian life. You can't separate them. You need both of them at the same time. That's why you see Jesus, when he died on the cross, he said, it is finished. All the sacrifices of the Old Testament has come to an end through my death on the cross. And no need for any sacrifice now. I am the ultimate sacrifice of sin. It is finished. Imagine you young people, you love a woman and you want to marry this woman, and you give her a ring for engagement, but you just keep telling her, we're engaged. Now, would you say to your fiance every time you see her, every time you meet with her, the engagement is enough? Be happy. Rejoice. Celebrate. The engagement is enough. No, you have to marry this woman to make it complete. It is when you marry this woman The pastor who officiates the wedding will tell everybody in the ceremony, they are now husband and wife. And I want everyone to know them as husband and wife. And when Jesus raised up from the dead, the Father declared that my people are now reconciled with me. I am their God. They are my people. It is done. We are married in Christ Jesus. The announcement was made when Jesus raised up from the dead. That's why we need his resurrection. Secondly, foundation that cannot be shaken, but then preaching that can be trusted. Listen to Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12 to 14. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. We are preaching the gospel for nothing. We are preaching the gospel for no accomplishment, for no result. It doesn't have a power. You see, the power and truthfulness of our preaching, what I'm doing right now, relies on Christ's resurrection. That's why you see Paul in Romans 1:16, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." What does Paul mean when he said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel"? What Paul meant was, I'm not embarrassed of the gospel. I'm not reluctant of the gospel. When I preach it, I'm not reluctant. When I preach it, I'm not embarrassed of the gospel. Why? What is the one thing that made Paul to be free of doubt, fear, and embarrassment of the gospel? The reason, beloved, is this. Because it is the power of God for salvation. It can be trusted. It can be relied upon. It is the power of God for salvation. I don't know how many of you have heard this week. Something that really breaks my heart as a pastor, as a preacher of the gospel. Elevation Church. This church has about 20,000, 25,000 people as members. This church this week refused it. Its leadership refused it. You can go to their website and the YouTube and listen to it yourself. This is the church. And the leadership refused to use terms like resurrection, like Calvary, like the blood of Jesus Christ. The spokeswoman came to the YouTube and she said, "No, we're not going to use the word resurrection, the word the blood of Christ, the word Calvary to anyone whom we invite to the church for Easter Sunday, because we will make people feel outsiders." Just think about that. The church saying, "No, we're not going to use the term resurrection. The blood of Christ, atonement, Calvary, so that people whom we want to come to church will not feel outsiders." Isn't the Bible that tells us anyone who is not in Christ, he's outside of Christ? Isn't that people who are outside of Christ need to hear, in order to be in Christ, they need to hear that they are outside of Christ? Where is the church?
The church is doubting the power of the message. Let's help the message of the gospel by toning down our language, by avoiding the word resurrection and Calvary and the blood of Christ, and people will come to Christ.
Beloved, what about what happened in the White House this week? The Easter Sunday art contest, where children were invited to the White House, and there was a new rule that has been set in the White House for the children at the contest, and the army not to use any religious symbol or any religious term, including the name of Christ and resurrection. Just eat the egg, enjoy the contest, and go home. And they call the event Easter Sunday. And they don't want to talk about resurrection. This is where our leaders are, setting a rule for people not to mention Christ and resurrection. Do you see where we are, beloved? Do you see how much you need to pray for this nation? Denying the power of Christ's resurrection? The message of the gospel that can be trusted? The message that is the power of God unto salvation? Ephesians 2, 19 and 20, Paul says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, members of the household of God, built on the prophets, the apostles, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone." And how is Jesus the cornerstone of our religion, of our message? Through his resurrection from the dead. And lastly, resurrection offers to us life beyond the grave. Listen to Paul in verse 16 to 22. "For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied." This is what Paul is saying with all these statements. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, then after we die, we have no hope. But beloved, Paul is saying, but Christ was raised from the dead. And Christ was raised from the dead as the firstborn of all believers to lead us to heaven, to bring us to heaven. You remember Paul in Romans 6, 33, he said, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus." What type of life? Eternal life. Eternal life takes us till heaven. That's why we call it eternal life. Isn't that what Job said? "After I die, after my skin decay and experience corruption, then the day and the time will come because my Redeemer lives, and then I will rise up and see my God, see my Savior with my physical eyes." That's why the psalmist in Psalm 23:4, He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Have you been there, brothers and sisters in Christ? As a pastor, I visit dying saints all the time. Dying saints, you know, dying from cancer, dying from some kind of sickness about which the doctor tells them maybe you have only 6 months left. So I have experienced it with dying saints. Some of them telling me as a pastor, I can't wait to see my Savior. I'm ready to go. You know, they see this valley of death, but they're not afraid. They're ready to go because they know that there is life after death. And they know that the life that they will have after death is better. So they just want to go. And I have visited fellow believers on their dying moments where fear comes, doubt comes, and they say to me as a pastor, Pastor, I'm not ready yet. I don't want to die. And I read this verse for them. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And I tell them, because it is written in the scripture, do not be afraid. This evil that you see in your mind, in your heart, will not hurt you. Because there is life after death. There is life beyond the grave. How many of you always connect the resurrection of Jesus Christ with your bodily resurrection? We all will die one day. We don't know who will go first. But we all will die one day. But do you connect to your death? Do you know, beloved, that Christ's resurrection changes? It changes the end goal of death. It changes. Changed it. Death is an enemy. But through his resurrection, through his victory over death, Jesus turned death into this bridge. Where you and I, when we die, we go through this bridge to the presence of our Savior Jesus Christ. To see Him face to face. You know, every time we talk about our salvation, we use the phrase, you know, the word being saved. We are being saved for what? So we always say, you know, I have been saved to receive the forgiveness of all my sins. I have been saved to be justified. I have been saved to be adopted as a child of God. I have been saved to be sanctified by the power of the Holy Spirit. We always mention all these things attached to our salvation. All these blessings that flow from salvation. But how many of you always include, I have been saved in order to be raised? Most of the time it's neglected. We don't even talk about it. Because who wants to think about his death? But that's the reality. God saved us through the death and burial and resurrection of his Son Jesus Christ so that we also be raised with Christ and enter heaven. The psalmist in Psalm 16 said, 10 and 11, "For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol. Or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You see, the psalmist by faith saw God making the path of life known to him. God telling him, David, there is life beyond the grave. There is life after death. And there is pleasures. There will be pleasures forevermore after death. Jesus told his disciples one time, I'm going to go back to my Father. And you all remember the reaction. Once Jesus told them, you know, the moment Jesus told them, I'm going back to my Father. They were broken. They were sad. They were troubled. Yes, I would. Having Jesus 3 years with me, I just follow him. He heals that sick person. He feeds these hungry people. He walks on the water for 3 years. And then he tells me, hey, I'm going to leave you. I'll be broken. I'll be troubled. I just want to keep Jesus with me forever. I want his physical presence with me every moment of my life. But remember, the righteous lives by faith. We live and walk by faith, not by sight. So when Jesus told them, I'm going to leave you, they were troubled. And Jesus told them this. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. But without him being raised from the dead, this will never happen. But he was risen from the dead. He was ascended to heaven. He's now at the right hand of his Father, ruling the universe, interceding for us. And he's coming back to judge the righteous and the wicked. And this will be fulfilled when he comes back. He will take us with him to be with him and in the presence of our God forever. So, beloved, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ gives you three special gifts. It gives you a foundation that cannot be shaken. It gives us a preaching that can be trusted. We don't need to do, you know, a helicopter Easter egg drop in order to attract people to the Church of Jesus Christ. The gospel is enough. It is the power of God unto salvation. And the gospel also gives you life beyond the grave. Rejoice. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, oh Lord, thank you for the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that offers to us a foundation that cannot be shaken, a preaching that can be trusted and relied upon, a life beyond the grave. Oh Lord, thank you for these gifts. Now help us to live our Christian life accordingly, according to what we heard from your word. In the name of Christ our Savior, we pray. Amen.